This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning and Koo Soo Chuang. It's just gone past 7:37 in the morning. It's Wednesday, 9th of December. And in about half an hour, we're going to have a special breakfast grill panel, aren't we, Chuang?
Yeah, because it's International Anti-Corruption Day, and therefore that's why we're talking to Dr. Mohamed Mohan, the President of Transparency International Malaysia, and also Wong Kar Wah, the Chairman of the Public Accounts Committee. And of course, it's all about how Malaysia is doing in terms of its addressing corruption and improving transparency and governance in the country. Have we improved or have we slid down the slippery slope even further? That's going to be on the primary agenda at 8:05.
Yes, and it's also the subject of our poll this morning, where we're asking, how can corruption be better handled in Malaysia? Tell us. There are four options: better enforcement, more political will, nothing will change, or you just don't care. But unfortunately, I do think our Twitter poll isn't really functioning very well. But do let us know what you think. Give us your comments. But in the meantime, we're looking at the United Kingdom, because the deadline to strike a post-Brexit trade deal between the European Union and the United Kingdom looms closer than ever. So yesterday, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson warned that securing a deal would be very difficult, although he says the government is doing its best. Guess what? The best may not be enough, but never mind. These next few days will be pivotal for negotiations with high-level make-or-break talks happening between both parties.
Yeah, so Bojo is visiting Brussels this week, where he will meet with Ursula von der Leyen, President of the European Commission. And some see this as a promising sign of a deal, but there is no certainty of that. A no-deal Brexit, however, could cause a lot of chaos, disrupt supply chains, border crossings, and even food and medicine supply, which is obviously going to be quite critical at this time of our pandemic.
Yeah, because they're receiving the Pfizer vaccine via Belgium, and if there is no Brexit deal, will they get caught in the Channel Tunnel? Who knows? But for some insights on what to expect next, we're speaking to Matt Bevington, Public Policy and Foreign Affairs Analyst at the research organisation UK in a Changing Europe. Now, with less than a month before the deadline, what are the key sticking points left? And what does that mean about the prospect of a deal?
We are really in the crunch point now, probably the final days of the negotiation. We have Boris Johnson going over to Brussels. We've got the European League meeting on Wednesday and Thursday. We've had the EU negotiator say that negotiations can only run until Wednesday. Everything's really pointing in the direction of this being the end point for the talks. The problem is that we are still discussing the same problems that we were discussing at the beginning of the negotiations. First of all, what people are calling level playing field issues, which relate to competition rules between the UK and the EU. The UK wants to have the freedom to intervene in the economy as it sees fit. Whereas the EU is saying, well, if the UK wants tariff-free access to our large market, then we at least want to make sure the UK can't undercut EU companies. That's the fundamental debate at the heart of the negotiations, and there doesn't yet seem to be a resolution on it. One of the other key issues is fisheries. Now, economically, fisheries is largely irrelevant to both economies, the UK and the EU, but politically, it is hugely salient. The issues are over access, over how much fish EU boats can catch in UK waters in future, and also how much market access the UK gets for its fish, because the dilemma in the UK is that the fish that we catch, we sell, and the fish that we eat, we tend to import. So there's a dilemma between market access for the UK and access to UK waters on the EU side. And then there's a final issue, which is to do what people are calling governance issues. So the EU wants to be able to sort of sanction the UK for any divergence from the agreement, whereas the UK is saying if the issue is to do with fisheries, you can only sanction us on fisheries. If the issue is to do with competition policy or services, you can only sanction us in services. We seem to have reached the limit of where the negotiations can go in terms of officials. We seem to be at the point now where there needs to be political intervention. I don't think it's clear at all what the outcome will be. I broadly see Johnson going to Brussels as being a fairly positive sign. It shows at least that he's willing to make the effort to see if a deal can be reached.
We know the internal market bill has been a point of contention, considering it could allow the government to break international law by overriding parts of the withdrawal agreement. So, Matt, how does this bill factor into Brexit deal talks at this point?
So, on Monday, the government at least said publicly that it was willing to remove some of the contentious provisions that it had introduced previously, which again was quite a promising sign. And a government minister linked that to discussions between Boris Johnson and Ursula von der Leyen, the European Commission president, as a kind of goodwill gesture that the UK was genuinely trying to reach a deal and understood the EU's concerns regarding the internal market bill. But the government also has another bill in Parliament, a finance bill, which is going to introduce some even more contentious provisions in a similar way. So it's kind of given with one hand and taken away with the other. These issues haven't gone away, but I think ultimately, if there is an agreement, the EU will not sign up to an agreement that contains anything that contradicts the withdrawal agreement. Those two things are mutually exclusive. So if there is a deal, it will be done on the assumption that the UK government then removes any of the kind of law-breaking provisions that is introduced in domestic legislation.
Now, in an event of a no-deal Brexit, which party stands to lose the most? And how do you see the future of UK's relationship with the EU?
I think initially there will be parts of the European Union that are affected. So Pas-de-Calais region in northern France, where there's the Calais-Dover crossing point, which where a lot of goods, in fact, most of the goods that go into the UK travel through that entry point. On both sides, there'll be disruption. It will affect the UK worse, I think. The UK government is expecting quite a lot of delays, even in a best case scenario, just from the fact that British companies are not prepared. They don't really know the rules that they're going to be operating under, and they're not aware of what they need to do to be able to comply. So there's quite a lot of disruption expected around there. Obviously, some member states have talked about giving UK companies a 2-month grace period. And the UK is also gradually introducing domestic measures on goods coming into the EU. I think that will take 6 months to be fully implemented. So those are measures to try and ease the flow of goods between the UK and the EU. In terms of the long-term relationship, I think this is where a deal or no deal is quite important, because if there's a deal, no matter how modest, it at least provides a framework and a grounding for the relationship to be built up in other areas at a later date when public scrutiny is perhaps less politically difficult to do so. If there's no deal, I think political relations will very rapidly decline, because one of the implications of no deal is that EU fishing boats will not get access to UK waters. That's just one example. If that happens, you can imagine the French government in particular seeking to retaliate in terms of its migration agreements with the UK. There was one agreed just recently between the UK and France regarding migrants crossing the channel. And I think generally there'll be a lot of recrimination. Each side will blame the other, and it will take quite a long time for either side to be in a position to restart negotiations, just because there will be so much bad feeling between the two. And there's been some talk on the EU side recently that they can just wait until January and then talk then, because they think they might be in a stronger position. But I think in reality, if there's no agreement this year, it's going to be quite a long time before the UK is willing to discuss again.
And that was Matt Bevington, public policy and foreign affairs analyst in UK in a changing Europe, giving us his views on this ongoing Brexit saga, where the vote actually took place in June 2016. And surprise, surprise, it has still not been resolved to today. And whether it will be, of course, is still a question mark. But I think he did mention and he did highlight that the price for no-deal Brexit would be quite painful for the UK. But up next, we'll be speaking to Professor James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania, for his thoughts on the DNAA ruling in Tunku Adnan's corruption trial. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.